What's up, everybody? Welcome back to WPC Plus. That is The Weighted Pod Created. I'm Pierre Camus. With me is Nicholas Scott, and we're here to talk more baseball because we've probably got about, what, 7, 8 more months of preseason to go over, maybe 13, 14 at this point.
Roundabout.
We're hoping and crossing our fingers that there is a baseball season. We're going to assume it's going to start any day now, but it won't. But you know what? Let's just pretend. We pretended there was opening day today, right? There was all the simulated games. Yeah. And let me ask, did you get into all that, the simulated stats and the let's look back at the greatest opening day games of all time? And, I have to be honest, I didn't, just because I think it just would make me sad.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. Like, I woke up and I knew it was like, first thing I thought about baseball was like, it's supposed to be opening day today. And then, you know, I kind of followed, you know, what people were doing on Twitter and whatnot. You know, I like seeing other people like get into that stuff, but I'm with you. Like, it just kind of bummed me out, like wanting to participate. So I spent all day writing about baseball. So still got plenty of baseball in, but man, just pretending like baseball had started just kind of bummed me out a little bit too much.
Yeah, I just can't. You know, it's like, I feel like you're forcing or like faking it, you know, like, oh, we're pretending it's real. It's not like, I mean, that might sound a little bit, you know, hypocritical from a fantasy writer and analyst, but still, fantasy is based on real things, right? Like, it actually happened. Yeah. And these are the players I drafted, and this is the real stats, and these aren't real. Like, we're pretending. It's to me, it's not the same. Yeah. And it also might be hypocritical for someone who plays lots of video games, which of course aren't real, but at least with the game, like if I'm playing the show or I'm now kind of getting into Out of the Park, which again is just simulation, but at least I'm doing something, right? Like I'm interacting and I have a hand in it. So it's not the same. Don't judge. So, but like you said, we're also spending opening day, not opening day, talking about the season. That's not happening yet, but it will any day now, maybe. But for the 2020 season, if and when it does happen, we've got some bold predictions, right? So take these stats with a grain of salt. I mean, if it's a short season, half a season, or whatever it is, but we're going to assume 162 games or something close to that, right? We're just assuming full season.
Yeah, that's really the only way to do it at this point. Like if you start making guesses on, we think there's going to be 100 games, we think there's going to be 80 games, that there's going to be this much stats, it's just kind of pointless. Like let's just keep it at, so everyone's in the same frame of mind, just keep it like we're playing a full year and we can adjust accordingly those numbers whenever we know how many games are actually going to get played.
Right. So projections, you know, they're still for a full season. So our predictions are still for a full season. So here we go. Let's start with yours, your first bold prediction. And I think we're going to kind of ramp up the boldness as we go, maybe. Let's start with your first one about Corey Kluber. Didn't have the best year last year, of course, some injury involved, but you're saying he just falls off the map completely here, pretty much not a top 50 pitcher. Please explain.
Kluber's fine. I don't think he falls off the cliff as being just a non-fantasy asset, but as far as being a top 100 pick, which is, I think that's around his ADP right now, is right around 101, 102. I don't see it. And it's, you know, 2019 was mostly a lost year. Gets hit by the comebacker, breaks his arm, out the rest of the year. Only pitches 36 innings. Very bad in those 36 innings. 5.8 ERA, only a 22.6% K rate, 4.68 Sierra. And, you know, you just kind of write that off too. He started off rough. Broke his arm, freak accident, and he'll bounce back fine. He was very good in 2018. 5.5 WAR, 2.02 ERA in his first 12 starts, but he really tailed off in the second half. Only a 3.45 ERA, which is still obviously very good, but not quite how he started. And one of the biggest differences I think is Kluber's always had a pretty junky fastball. That really hasn't been a secret, but he's had an elite cutter that he has relied on and has destroyed people with. And that cutter got pretty, not horrible, but not great in the second half of 2018. Had a 3.68 WOBA against it. And at the beginning of 2019, before he got hurt, it was still pretty bad, a 3.47 WOBA against it. And if Kluber is now going to have a low mediocre fastball with now a just average cutter or slightly above average cutter, then I don't think he's an elite pitcher anymore. And I'm not going to be willing to spend a top 100 pick on him.
Now, I haven't heard you mention the fact he's with a new team now. Does that have any... Does that factor either way, or is it, you know, not the reason? Obviously, you know, a lot of other reasons you just mentioned, but any concern there going to Texas? And then obviously a new park there, so we don't really know how it's going to play. Do you fear that that might play more hitter-friendly? I think they said they were going for something more neutral, but of course we don't know yet.
Yeah, and, you know, they kind of claimed that they're going for neutral. Who knows? I didn't like Kluber before he ended up with Texas. So going there didn't really make anything. It kind of cemented my decision, but it didn't swing it that much either way. You know, if they weren't getting a new stadium, I knew they were playing at Globe Life, then I'd really be worried because it would be a launching pad for him. But really, it's just the, you know, he still, you know, ATC projects him for 173 innings, 179 Ks, a 1.21 whip, and a 4.09 ERA. That is perfectly fine, but it puts him as the, you know, I put things through standing gain calculations, and that puts him as a number 43 pitcher in a 12-team league. So, yeah, saying top 50 is a little bit worse than that, but he's just in a big grouping of pitchers that I think are at similar value but are going about 50 picks later.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, if you look at those projections, projecting systems typically pretty conservative and, you know, not too dissimilar from what last year's results were. And like you said, if it was Texas, you know, with Globe Life last year, it might be a little worse, but that's not the reason really for your concern. The reason is he's just getting a little bit older, getting a little bit, losing some of that skill. Not super bold. That's not super spicy. We'll start out. That's a nice appetizer for our bold predictions.
Yeah, because it's a little guy.
But that's pretty good because, I mean, I think he's still being drafted as, you know, not quite Kluber of old, but I still see him drafted, like you said, in the top 100 sometimes, and people are expecting him, oh, it was just a bad luck year, you know what I mean? And people are expecting a bounce back. I don't see that happening either. All right. I don't know if this qualifies as super bold, but I see a lot of people hating on Hansel Robles and feeling like, you know, he's a guy who's going to lose his job. I'm kind of going the other way. I see him as a guy who might be one of the top closers in terms of saves. I'm not saying his ratios are going to be outstanding, but my bold prediction will be that he's going to be top five closer and he's going to save about 40 games, again, assuming a full season. The Angels rotation is definitely not worse than it was last year. It was pretty bad last year. So I think they'll be able to get to the closer a little easier. That lineup is looking pretty good, obviously. I have a feeling that a little bit of change there will help the team overall win more games. But Robles, again, I don't get the hate for him. Maybe you can help me understand that because he has a pretty good K rate, right? About 26.5%. He doesn't walk many guys at all, right? So he's not one of these, you know, guys where control is the issue, right? Where he's got dominating stuff. You know, he throw it 100 miles per hour, but he's all over the place half the time. His 2.54 WOBA was top 7th percentile last year. So I don't get it. Why are people, you know, seeing that not only is he not even a top 15 closer, but they're saying that, you know, he's a guy who's going to get bounced out of his job.
I'm with you. I don't understand the, you know, it's not even like just people hating on, it's just kind of indifference to him. And like you said, he saved what, 23 games last year. His K rate's fine. Doesn't walk anyone, which is something I really like out of closers. I guess it's the job security. It's the, you know, the Angels shuffling of closers these last few years. But I don't understand the hate either. I think he's a really, really good value. A guy that can easily return, you know, you're saying top five for bold, but I don't think it's bold to say that he could be in that top 10 range. And given his draft price compared to some other guys going before him, like, yeah, I think he's a great value.
And going just in the month of March, right, the most recent ADP here, talk about NFBC ADP, he's going behind guys like Brandon Workman, who doesn't have exactly extended resume of being a closer. I mean, the Red Sox could easily shuffle there too. Alex Colome, who has a lot of saves on his resume, but he definitely doesn't have the most overpowering stuff. I mean, they could go to Bummer or somebody else there. Going behind Will Smith in Atlanta, and guys like Leclerc, who definitely have questionable control. So, and when you talk about his ranking among closers, behind Rosel Iglesias, who very easily could lose his job, right? There's about five guys, I think, in Cincinnati who could take his place. So, yeah, I think to me, actually, if anything, he feels like a little bit of a safer guy in that range. But yeah, I just think top 10 seems pretty reasonable. So that probably wasn't, you know, spicy enough either. I think we need to go a little bolder. Let's keep going because
a little spicy.
Come on, let's spice it up. All right. That's more like it. All right. So I want to clarify Kyle Tucker. All right. We know Kyle Tucker, top 50 player. You're not saying top 50 hitter. You're saying top 50 fantasy overall player.
Top 50 player. Going a little bit bolder this time.
Let's hear it.
And honestly, it's not even about skill. It's about playing time. You know, I'm just looking at, you know, he's projected right now by ATC for 106 games, 427 plate appearances, because right now he doesn't have a starting job. But the people in front of him, Michael Brantley, obviously not going to lose it. George Springer, not going to lose it. Both of them not guaranteed to play a whole season, though. And then the third outfielder is Josh Reddick. He's Josh Reddick. And all three of them are in their final year of their contracts. And Tucker's bat is just so good. And I'm just looking at, like, you know, top 50. If he gets into a starting job, if he plays 150 games, just taking ATC projections and extrapolating his 105 games out to 150 games, he ends with 27 home runs, 86 runs scored, 85 RBI, 24 stolen bases, and a 255 average. Once again, put that through the old SGP calculator, and he is player number 51. He is very good. If he gets 600 plate appearances, which I don't think is going to happen this year, obviously it's not going to happen this year with the shortened season, but relatively speaking, but if he does, he did the exact same thing in the minors for his past couple of years. He hits a lot of bombs. He steals a lot of bases. He is a very, very good hitter. And just his fantasy profile is off the chart. And you look at his Statcast, it's hard to look at his Statcast numbers because he got just, you know, a cup of coffee last season. But he had, I think he had 42 plate appearances. But he had a 92-mile-per-hour average exit velocity. He had an 8.7% barrels per plate appearance or at a ball event. These are elite numbers. And once he finally gets a starting job, he is going to be an elite player. And, you know, who knows with this year what's going to happen in this crazy shortened year. But in dynasty leagues, I think he is a world-class asset. And I'm kind of bummed out I don't own a lot of him.
Price has definitely gone up on him, but like you said, it's interesting looking forward. We don't know what about this year anyways, but looking forward to next year, like you said, those guys might not be around, all of them, because when your contract's Reddick, of course, it barely is around as it is. He's an injury waiting to happen, but let me play devil's advocate as always. Dusty Baker just hates young players, right? That's the story. I mean, he won't play you if you're, you know, under the age of 30, right? Isn't that what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So. Yeah, definitely. And that's, you know, and that's the thing about the Dusty Baker combination plus the shortened season. I don't think he's actually going to take over the starting job unless Brantley or Springer gets hurt. There's no way that Dusty Baker, unless Josh Reddick is hitting 180, is going to sit Reddick in favor of Tucker every day. It's just not going to happen. So, yeah, that's kind of it's like, that's the thing about Tucker. It's the boldness isn't, I don't think a lot of people disagree about the skill. Like those ATC numbers I ran off, they were extrapolated. The regular ones he has for you know, the 427 plate appearances, it's pretty much right in line with Steamer and Bat and depth charts. No one doubts his skill. They only doubt his playing time. And Dusty Baker, that obviously hurts. But like I said, maybe this year, who knows? Like I said, that's why it's a bold prediction. But in dynasty leagues, I just think he's a monster waiting to happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. Definitely could happen. I mean, an injury away. So those 24 steals sound pretty good if you can get it, you know, that late. So, all right, yeah. Moving on here. I'll go a little higher up the ranks. Talk about a guy, Bryce Harper. Now, this may not sound Super Bowl because it's not like he hasn't done this before, but I'm going to say that coming off of last year, Bryce Harper is going to be the MVP in the National League and a top 10 overall player. And now his ADP at this point is, what, 23, I think, 24. A lot of people are scared to take him in the first round just because the adjustment to Philadelphia didn't go oh so great. But what's interesting to me is that the projection systems, again, you know, tend to be more conservative. So ATC projects him to go 36 homers, 104 RBIs, 100 runs, 13 steals. That's almost exactly what he did last year. Okay, so this is a guy that obviously the ceiling is through the ceiling. It's through the roof, right? He's hit 330 before. He's hit 319. Are we going to just assume he's going to hit 262 again? And I think that the pressure of the contract, right, the adapting to Philadelphia, just getting kind of getting used to booze as like that background white noise, you know. I think now that he's kind of adjusted to that with the parts that Philly has in place and a new manager, I think that's going to help too. I have a feeling that he's going to be back to what we expected him to be before the contract. But is that really bold, or do you see it the same way?
No, I think it's slightly bold, but it's bold because of, you know, perception. I'm with you. This is the first year I've actually been like into Harper. I've always kind of been down on him just because because of injuries or whatever. He has never, you know, exception of a couple years, he hasn't lived up to that draft price. But this year, yeah, I'm all about Harper because the draft price has dropped, like you said. He can easily return first round value. That's not insanely bold to say. Not a lot of people would think he's going to be top five, but he's got the skills. You know, these guys are humans, and the burden of that contract plus playing in not exactly one of the most athlete friendly cities in the world in Philadelphia, like that might affect you. And you were talking about his batting average, you know, just looking at his StatCast page, he still had an XBA of 279, and all his other numbers are still great. 14.8% barrel percent, top 6% in the league. 488 Woe Bacon, top 6% in the league. Given that draft price, yeah, I'm really in on Harper. I have him on a number of teams, which is, like I said, it's pretty unusual for me because I'm usually passing on him because the price is too high.
And I think we just got so used to him, you know, and as far as draft wise, being a first round pick, being a top 10 guy. And then finally, now that's not the case. And so I think this is the time to buy into him when you get him in the second round, as opposed to having to spend a first round pick, because again, the perception versus expectation, because last year kind of disappointing for him. Again, it's kind of like I was just talking about this with football. People think Todd Gurley's dead because he didn't score 20 touchdowns. He still had a pretty good year, right? He scored like 12 touchdowns. And that's he's not terrible, right? He's just not the best player in the world anymore. Like Bryce Harper wasn't the best player in baseball last year. He was still one of the best players. So, we saved insanely bold for last. Don't worry. Let's take it up a notch with our last one here. So Ronald Acuna is pretty good. I heard he's good, but 40-60 good.
I've heard he's good.
40-60.
40-60.
And 60, you're not talking about runs scored, right?
No. 40 home runs, 60 stolen bases. Obviously ridiculous. And if you're making a bunch of bold predictions that are coming right, then you're doing the exercise wrong. But it's not absolutely insane. I mean, it kind of is in today's world of baseball. But the home runs, I don't think anyone's going to question he can hit 40 home runs because he hit 41 home runs last year. Stolen bases, he had 37 last year, missed like what that last seven, eight, nine games with a bulky knee. But the thing about Acuña is he did not start batting leadoff until May 10th. And after he started batting leadoff, he averaged a stolen base attempt every right under 13 plate appearances. He had 715 plate appearances last year. If you do a little math there and extrapolate his stolen base attempts per plate appearance as a leadoff hitter last year and to 715 plate appearances, you get 56 stolen bases. So I will just take that and go ahead and add four, because saying someone's going to go 40-56 isn't really sexy as saying 40-60. So, you know, just a couple little hop skips on some math there, and that's how we end up with one of the greatest fantasy seasons ever. So I think we can book it.
That would be, yeah. I mean, the way you say it, I think it's pretty much a done deal. Yeah. But, and you know, if he has like 56 in the final week, that they'll just let him run like steal third base every time just to try to get to that number, right? Yeah. You know, he'll like lean into pitches a little bit more to get on base. And
it'll all come together and you won't be able to shut me up for some reason that ever happens.
That's why we record this. That's why we put it on the air. So that way, this is just for bragging rights, really. If any of these come true, that's the only
basically.
Reason. Yeah.
Talk about it forever.
Hey, if anybody can do it, I think it's Acuña. That's doable. All right, and then I'm going to end with a guy that is not quite in the same league as Bryce Harper or Ronald Acuña. Rowdy Tellez, not our Rowdy JB. But Rowdy Tellez, I think he's going to go for 30 home runs because, of course, he's better than Travis Shaw. And I'm not saying Travis Shaw is totally dead, but I'm not quite into Travis Shaw anymore. Tellez has more power, right? He's got that ridiculous power swing. He's lost, replaced 15 pounds of fat with muscle, according to reports. And I believe all media reports. So, naturally.
That saved him his life.
It's going to be like a Barry Bonds type season for him. No. he can get to 30, right? He can get to 30 home runs if he takes that job. I'm just saying, I think it's possible, right? Shaw could get moved around the diamond. Who knows? He could wind up DHing. He could wind up DFA'd. I'm just saying that between the two things, you know, Tellez has that talent. He's got the barrel rate. So I'm going to predict 30 home runs for him, and I think he's going to be one of those late round steals. I'm not saying he's going to go for 50 home runs. I'm not going to get that crazy. I don't know. Is it doable?
Oh, I think so. I mean, like you mentioned the barrel rate, like the guy hits the ball really hard. He's got a home run swing. He's got a 13.2% barrel rate. That's top 9% of the league. Apparently he's in the best shape of his life, which is always amazing to hear. You know, that usually works out. He hit 21 home runs in 400 plate appearances. If he, depending on what the Blue Jays do, if he gets that job at full time, like it's not unreasonable to think that Tellez can hit 30 home runs and 500 plus plate appearances. It's also plausible that he can be DFA'd and hit 50 home runs for your local beer league softball team. So one way or the other, Rowdy is going to be hitting some dogs. I just don't know for who.
Yeah, so you notice this is my little asterisk here. I said hits 30 home runs. I didn't say for who. So see that? didn't say
wise.
What level. Didn't say what level. Could be AAA. It could be the Pacific Coast League. but yeah, we'll see. All right, so those are all bold predictions. Now we have many more bold predictions. So many bold predictions, you won't know what to do with them. If you go to rotoballer.com and you search bold predictions, you'll find mine and a host of others. Nick's coming out any day now, right? You got those in written form because this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh yeah, more boldness, boldier. That's a word, right?
Boldier and better. I like that. So if you want bold predictions, we got them. If you want preseason draft rankings, we got them. We have so much fantasy baseball draft content. We just need some drafts now. We just need a season. That's all we need. Right?
That's all. Missing one key ingredient. We'll be right there.
That's it. We just need an actual season, but it's coming, guys. In the meanwhile, prep for your drafts with us. Hit that subscribe button, hit the notification bell, and you'll get all of our content, which comes out every single week as soon as it drops. All right. Thanks for watching.
Mm-hmm.